A very warm welcome to the SaaS Business Podcast, specifically for those who run dynamic businesses, are SaaS pension trustees, and have decided to take full control of their personal wealth economy. In the podcast, I share with you how you can understand the power of this high-performance combination of business, SaaS, and wealth generation to create the power, freedom, and choice in your life and creating your multi-generational legacy. I am so passionate about business and SaaS pensions that I wrote a number one Amazon bestseller on the subject, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. To find out more about how SaaS can be a game changer in your personal economy, join thousands of SaaS trustees on our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and join us at www.saasalliance.org. Now let's get on with the podcast. Well, welcome to another episode of SaaS Business Podcast, and I'm delighted to be joined by Michelle Bryant. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Mark.
How are you? You well?
Very well, thank you, given what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, lots of uncertainty, but I guess there'll always be uncertainty and change in the world. It's for us to embrace it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So maybe you could introduce yourself and where you come from and a bit of your history.
Sure. So I'm based in central London. I'm originally from New Zealand, and my background is chartered accounting, and I used to work in the city, in the financial district, and I moved more into project management. I moved away from pure accountancy, and that's my skills that I've now leverage off in my property world. Yes, I've been in London for a good percentage of my life, and I'm also a London landlord, an investor, and a SaaS trustee. And I'm also an ambassador of a couple of interesting ventures. And I also recently joined a group called Property Sisters, who I love mentioning. They're a great support network of women throughout the country and throughout the UK. So that's sort of like me in a nutshell, really.
Brilliant. And your journey over here from New Zealand, going back all those years, was that connected with your accountancy background? Was it business that brought you here?
Well, I always wanted to travel. My grandfather was originally from Yorkshire. He immigrated to New Zealand. So I sort of came over here and thought, I'm going to work a few years as an accountant. New Zealand has had a good reputation for great accountants in London. And I thought, that sounds like a bit of me, and I can do some travel and potentially stay a couple of years. And fast forward, I'm still here.
Still here. And I know we were talking earlier on about the world of change, and I understand you've had an interesting journey across the world over the last few months. Would you care to share that?
Sure. So I tend to go home every Christmas for a nice chunk of time. And flights were booked quite early last year because we like to get quite a nice deal if we can, because Christmas is a little bit pricey. So we ended up having flights booked via Hong Kong. And obviously we were worried about the unrest there, which actually turned out to be not too much of an issue when we visited in early December. And then obviously New Zealand was impacted on a couple of occasions by all the Australian smoke and you know, very sad bushfires. And we were a little bit worried about that coming back via Sydney. But little did we know there was actually another surprise waiting for us, because we were actually supposed to stop in Hong Kong on the way back. So yeah, we literally clipped the start of it, and surrounded by crew serving us with masks. This was late January, so a lot's unfolded since then.
Crikey, so you've had fire, civil unrest, and a virus. That really is the holy trinity, isn't it, all in one?
I know. It was a great trip, and we managed to get back okay, but interesting times for everyone now. So,
well, you're back safe and sound, and we're delighted to have you on the podcast, Michelle. So the title of the podcast is SaaS Business. So maybe could you start by sharing how you got to know about SaaS and your formative steps in setting your SaaS up?
Yes, sure. So I basically started doing quite a bit of networking a few years ago before I actually really realized the power of networking. And I stumbled across a couple of speakers talking about SaaS. And I'm like, what is the SaaS thing? So I did a little bit of exploring, and it wasn't really a quick journey, but I was pretty interested in it. I mean, not even today, I know a lot of accountants and financial services colleagues who have got no idea about SaaS. So I thought, yeah, this sounds like a bit of me. And yeah, I pursued it, and it's been great. And just the people that you meet along the way, other SaaS trustees who've persevered as well, and they're all a like-minded sort of bunch. So yeah, it's been a game changer.
Yeah, and I really recognise that. You know, within SaaS Alliance Facebook group now, there are, 3,200 members, something like that. And the quality of people there, just wonderful people who come from a whole eclectic array of business backgrounds, I think you'd agree.
Absolutely, absolutely. And every meeting, there's new people and, there's just so much you can learn just from one person, one meeting. So, yeah, I agree. It's great. Quite excited about the next one coming up.
So when did you start your SaaS? When did your SaaS come into being? How long ago was that?
Approximately 2 years ago, it all came to life. So, yeah, it's gone rather quick. But for me, it was a game changer when the SaaS Alliance came along because it was such a great network and support system and just being able to share stories and hear what other people were doing. So, yeah, quite recently, I'm fairly new. But there seems to be a lot more coming through now. So I think it's great. Yeah, there's not many throughout the country. The numbers are very low, aren't they? I think it was 22,000 at one point.
Yeah, it was 22,000 at the end of 2018. Pension Regulator hasn't issued 2019 numbers yet. But yeah, 22,000 out of, think of the millions of pensionable who can take on a pension. So yeah, it's quite low, and I think that's what we're doing. We're spreading the word. It's not a particular passion of mine to ensure people get a SaaS. What is a passion of mine is to make sure that people understand that a SaaS is available, and ultimately, that's a freedom of choice for then people to take very responsible and acute diligence, research, and decide whether it's right for them or not. And I think you'd agree, it's a very accountable strategy, but it can equally be rewarding for those that are able to embrace the opportunity.
Absolutely. It's definitely not for everyone, and you do have to invest time to learn as much as you can so you do it properly.
So what have you done with your SaaS, if you don't mind me asking, over the last couple of years? What has been your strategy that you could share with the audience?
Sure. So basically, as a London landlord, having a SaaS has been a nice tool to complement my existing investments. So before SaaS came along, I had sort of dabbled and explored a little bit in crowdfunding because it's quite nice to be able to diversify geographically without having to buy a complete property. So I got involved in some crowdfunding, tested a few platforms. So I found that's been a great strategy for me. Absolutely love it. So you can spread your risk across, you know, different platforms, different developers, different areas. Yeah, and you meet some, you know, very interesting people. And also loans, doing loans with developers, but obviously not jumping straight into doing a loan with someone. I know a lot of people do like to do JVs and things with people quite quickly. I take a lot of time to build relationships and watch what people do and make sure they're credible and have a track record. So for me, it's been crowdfunding, doing loans, and also a little bit of business investing. So not just in property. That's worked for me so far. But obviously, there's a few strategies that I haven't mentioned, but I like to watch how they work and talk to other people about things like the loan backs, etc.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit of diversification in there. It was interesting when you mentioned crowdfunding, you know, spreading the risk and your time as well. I know many people would relate to, in fact, I mention it in the book, that my pension strategy for 26 years was looking at my pension statements once a year, and that probably took about 5 minutes, and hopefully it'll be better next year. Whereas to many people, taking on board a SaaS pension means you're more accountable. But we do have choices in our strategy, which will have a greater or lesser draw on our time and therefore our return on time employed. Because I don't think anybody's a full-time SaaS trustee, are they? They've got other interests. So could you give an indication of how long you used to spend on your pensions and then how long you spend working with your SaaS now each year, would you say?
Right. Well, for me, it was very similar. I would potentially have a phone call or a meeting with my IFA maybe once a year and, you know, just file that paperwork when it came through the post, maybe have a drink with them every couple of years, and they were just happy if they got their fee, I'm quite sure. So that went on for a few years. And then obviously once I heard about SaaS, I was like, wow, we can make this, be in charge, take control and, yeah, make it grow and obviously leave a legacy and explore how to take advantage of the tax benefits. So So now, obviously, I spend a bit of time on the Facebook Alliance group and obviously the meetings, and I keep in touch. I've met a lot of people through it, through the network and through being a SaaS trustee. So yeah, I find it a lot more interesting as a SaaS and more opportunities it can lead to as well. So yeah, a little bit more time, but it's good time. It's a great time investment.
Interesting, because many people will associate SaaS investments with, pensions are very popular. You mentioned loan backs, third-party loans, and probably investing in stocks, shares, trackers. But you mentioned something that we both invest in, which is, you know, businesses. I invest in a number of different businesses, and considering that with my SaaS and outside of my SaaS. And as you say, that's an opportunity for us to bring our business acumen to bear, isn't it, to support fledgling businesses, as well as, you know, creating a reasonable return there. So I just wondered what your strategy was in terms of selecting businesses and how you go about that.
Yeah, sure. So obviously I love to invest in physical property because you know, if something goes, you know, something changes or you want to sell, you've got a physical asset to sell. So for me, investing in a business was a little bit, you know, stepping out into a sort of a new area. So again, it comes back to building relationships and really watching people and investing in an area that, you know, that you're passionate about and being very careful of who you invest with. So I just think it's a nice complement to diversify again for your portfolio. So just being very prudent.
Yeah. I was going to ask you some of the challenges that you've experienced, maybe relating back to your previous pensions or your SaaS. But I think you've probably just mentioned how to combat some of those. And that's looking at people, due diligence. Any particular thoughts you'd like to share in that area?
Yeah, I'd say to people, you know, everybody's different. Everyone's got different types of pensions. So setting up is quite a challenge. A lot of people ask, you know, how long did it take you? But it seems like it's a different experience for everyone, given, you know, the type of pension, like I said. And also HMRC have got a little bit quicker at registering pensions now, I believe. So I just say to people, just be patient. And yeah, it's well worth persisting when it comes through. It's great.
And there's so many lessons that we can learn from the people we interact with. I know some of our investors or some of our business partners, they come from an amazing array of skills and experience. And I think you mentioned it with some of the people in SaaS Alliance. There's so many interesting people who don't necessarily come from the humdrum of the maybe a property networking background. They come from a whole different plethora of backgrounds. It's very eclectic, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's a very unique network.
So could you share some of the lessons that you've learned that you might think would be of interest to our listeners as they start on their or advance their SaaS journey?
Yeah, sure. I'd say definitely become part of the SaaS Alliance Facebook group and don't be afraid to ask questions. There's a lot of people who have, you know, are more than happy to help and talk about their story. So that to me is a definite first step. And obviously try to get to a meeting because obviously they're everywhere now, aren't they? This time last year it was just London. So it's just incredible how many meetings there are. There's probably, four to half a dozen around the country now.
Yeah, we've got lots of touch points there and engagement. And for those who maybe prefer not to have meetings, maybe you're still in a corporate life and find that difficult, yeah, that's why we're really ramping up the podcast and the membership platform as well, just to really make it absolutely accessible to everybody, because there is a massive story out there that has failed to be told in previous years. And that's what we aim to do, bring it to the attention of as many people as possible and equip them with the right skills and acumen to decide whether it's right for them.
Yeah, and obviously if they can't make it to one of your meetings, like you said, there's the podcast and also, most importantly, your book, your SaaS book. I don't think anyone else has ever written one.
No, it's very unique. It's the only book on the subject, SaaS pensions. It's funny you mentioned books. That was I've described it as the 35-year itch I wanted to scratch, you know, to become an author. And I'm actually speaking to a co-author. You were very, very kind and wrote a very humbling and wonderful chapter in Advice to Your Younger Self book, which, came out last October, didn't it?
That's right. And I was very honoured to be invited to take part. Even just recently, as last week, somebody sent me a message saying they were lying on a sun lounger, I believe, in Tenerife, and read my chapter and sent me a lovely review. So, yeah, you never know when things like that pop up. So, yeah, if it's great to hear when people enjoy you reading your work. And, yeah, you really took action and you've got, what, your fourth book potentially coming out, I believe. So
Yeah, we've got a fourth book with case studies. So, yeah, I think we'll both have more than a passing interest in that one. So we're looking forward to that, aren't we?
What I'd love to say is, you know, somebody might think, oh, gosh, you know, reading a book about pensions and SAS may be something that's great to read in the middle of the night if you've got jet lag. But I sometimes do laugh. I think these things are a lot more exciting than what they sound. So each their own, but you've got to try it and see.
Yeah, and my co-author on that book, the amazing Louise Wrighton, I mean, she comes from an amazing background of research, marketing in pharmaceuticals. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm sure Louise is going to be a podcast guest in the very near future there.
Oh, she's lovely. She's such a what strikes me about Louise is she's just so super organized. She's up and down the country and, you know, she's got a busy life. I don't know how she does it. And she's doing all this in her own time. So, yeah.
No, it's amazing. And I think that embodies the freedom of choice of mm-hmm. having a SaaS and taking control of our personal economy, as I like to refer to it. Because I think many people listening will be thinking, yeah, I'd like to write a book, but I've no idea how I'd even begin to start. And I was like that for 25 years. I had that, you know, real urge to write something, but I didn't know what to write. I didn't know how to start, but well, I just started. How did you find starting with a blank sheet of paper, writing that wonderful chapter for advice to your younger self?
Well, I think having a deadline helped. I just think you do have to sit down and say, you know, you only have one life. And if you want to do these things, you just got to crack on and do them. So I just enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And just start. Just sit down and either write it or type it. And then it just became this evolving piece of work. And, you know, it was great just thinking, right, I've only got one shot at this. What do I want to put in there?
I agree with that. I mean, just making a start. It's version 6 or version 7 that we're looking for, aren't we, as individuals? And we've got to start with version 1 and go through the reiterations.
And nothing has to be perfect. It's like, you know, some people seek for things to be perfect. I mean, for example, podcasts, people don't want to say the wrong thing or but I just think it's just be your authentic self in your speaking and in your writing.
Somebody gave me a great bit of advice years ago. And in fact, I've had many people give me advice for all those years. One that particularly stands in mind was you never regret the things you did. You normally regret the things you didn't do. The things that you never made that decision, you procrastinated. And, you know, to your credit, you didn't procrastinate. You dived in and produced what a wonderful, wonderful chapter to the book. And it's lovely when you get that person on the sun lounger, take time out of their lives to send you a little review. It means the world, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's a lovely departure, but I think, you know, writing books or whatever one's passion is, you know, having that freedom of choice is so important to all of us. So what are your plans for the future, Michelle, in business and in your SaaS? What can you share with us?
Sure. Right. Well, for me, it's all about continuously building relationships with new people. So I'm always finding, even this week, going to new events, because you just never know who you're going to meet. I mean, I would never have got to write a new book if I hadn't joined SaaS Alliance and you know, got to know you. So it's just, like I say, don't say no to anything unless it feels wrong. You just never know what it might lead to. I mean, even last night I was at a movie premiere in Leicester Square with a developer that I've built a relationship with, and the film was set in their house, and I was actually lucky enough to stay in that house last year, beautiful mansion. It was a horror film, so it was actually quite an experience seeing a house that I'd slept in with fellow investors, and we'd had a party there. So it's just ongoing relationships. You never know what they can lead to and the opportunities that come out of them. I mean, you know, invitations to all sorts of things and to be part of things that can live on, like a book. Yeah, and going to the rescheduled MIPIM, hopefully in June, if everything's calmed down by then. You never know what that could lead to as well. For me, it's all about looking at how I can diversify income streams and not put all my eggs in one basket. So that's where I am right now in my life, doing that, working on that.
That's a great insight into your strategy, plans, and how you've taken control of your economy and created that freedom of choice. That's wonderful. Have you got any other parting pieces of wisdom that you'd like to share with the audience?
I would say you never stop learning in life. And I would just encourage people, just keep learning and growing and educating yourself. I don't believe in retirement. I mean, I'm open to working with inspiring, motivational people. I don't see myself retiring. I would like to, it's all about having freedom, like you say, and freedom of choice. And I want to be able to go back to New Zealand and see my family and my friends and be in control of what dates I take holidays and just work around those dates. And, you know, if you have to have a crazy month before you go away or 6 weeks, so be it. But you can do what you have to from a laptop anywhere in the world if you set yourself up to be like that. And obviously SaaS is one of those tools that helps that happen.
Yeah, it's a wonderful complement to other assets and skills that one has. Well, look, Michelle, it's been an absolute privilege to catch up with you yet again. Always really passionate to hear about what you're doing and how you're doing it. If people want to know more and follow what you're doing, how would they keep in contact with you?
Sure. Okay. So I'm on LinkedIn, Michelle Bryant. On Instagram, I'm pretty active on there. So my Instagram handle is East End Kiwi. Not so active on Facebook. As I said earlier, I like to look at the Facebook groups. So yeah, if somebody ever direct messaged me on LinkedIn or Instagram, I'd generally see it within 24 hours. So yeah.
Brilliant. Look, once again, Michelle, thank you very much for taking the time to share those real pearls of wisdom with the SaaS Business Podcast. So thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch up very soon, no doubt.
Thank you, Mark.
Are you inspired and want to know more? Well, join our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and check out my number one Amazon best-selling book, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. You can also check out SaaS Alliance website at www.saasalliance.org. Until next time, thank you for listening.